You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
Hey, out there in social media land, we are.
Well, some of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
I used the same opening as last week, so we have the wicked opening again. But
oh, I didn't make new openings. Oh.
It's okay.
No, I feel horrible.
Oh, I have to fix this.
God damn it.
Oh, there we go.
Anyway, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. We're doing Oscar reviews again, and I'm Scott, this is Joey, and we're reviewing Dune Part 2.
Yes, we are.
Yes, now, this is one of the few times where you're going to hear me speak positively about a science fiction film. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Actually, yeah, I put that in the description. That what did I actually put in the description? I put something along the lines of, even Scott liked it, and if you know Scott, he doesn't like sci-fi or something like that.
Yeah, but just like the first film, you know, this is something where I finally understand Dune. I mean, I grew up with the Lynch Dune, and I had never read them because I didn't care to. I'm not big into hard sci-fi. Never cared for the Lynch Dune, but I know why now. It's just that the storytelling wasn't up to speed, and I you can't blame it all on the advanced special effects. Now it wasn't the cheesy sandworm scene that killed that film.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you go back all the way to, you know, Jodorowsky, His interpretation of Dune, there's a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune, and it's actually, the documentary is 11 years, or 12 years old. I can't even believe that it's 12 years old. I seriously feel like I just watched it 3-4 years ago, but it was made in 2013. Anyway, long story short, they have, I hate it when you do that. Because it's really not.
It's just a great setup. It's a great setup. I'm sorry I had to. Yeah.
He actually has like the Bible of his version of Dune, and it's all storyboarded out and artwork, and it's probably 6 to 8 inches thick. The thing is gigantic. When you watch Denis Villeneuve, his version, you can tell that there is some similarities to what Jodorowsky was talking about. I mean, I'm not saying that he watched that documentary and saw this Bible and was like, I need to do this. What I think ended up happening was he read the book and interpreted it, but Jodorowsky interpreted it so well, there are similarities. Why are you making a face?
I think there's a vast chasm between Jodorowsky's like surreal, whacked out interpretation.
I'm not
that
talking
didn't hold.
Okay, I'm not I'm talking saying, about like it's like Denis is gonna make it like the Holy Mountain, like Jodorowsky, like it's an acid trip. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about like those flying bug things. It's in Jodorowsky's, like in his storyboards, like it looks like a bug thing with the wings flapping super fast. I'm just saying it's like similarities like that where it's kind of neat to see it.
I can't speak for the director, but as someone who's seen both films, seen the documentary and seen this, I honestly feel that any similarities between the two are because they're both based on the same book.
That's what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying is Jodorowsky took the book and was inspired by it. But, of course, it was going to be Dune, the Holy Mountain. Like, that's what it was going to be if he actually made this fucking thing. But what I'm saying is that the written word in the book, it comes across so clear that Jodorowsky and Denis both were able to interpret it properly, you know?
I still think Jodorowsky was interpreting things in a far more loosely based way. You have to credit Villeneuve,
I believe it's
Villeneuve.
I apologize if we're pronouncing it wrong.
You have to credit him for doing the impossible, which is adapting like a classic hard sci-fi novel and pleasing the fan base.
Oh yeah,
I mean the film is faithful to the book, and also I praise him just for doing two films and not three.
No, he's doing a third.
No, but he didn't take the first book. The third film will be Dune Messiah. Which is a separate book.
Oh, I see, like, what you're saying.
I'm saying he didn't pull Peter Jackson and try to squeeze a trilogy out of the book. He was like, no, two is enough.
Right.
And I praise him for that.
Well, I mean, he knows that the scale of this, because the Dune books are gigantic, the scale of this requires at least three movies. But you're right. He took the first film and...
Like, Peter Jackson would be trying to make Dark Messiah into three films as well. That would be like his second trilogy. Yeah. Nonsense.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason. We had this conversation when we reviewed, the first Hobbit film. God knows, when would that come out? 2012? When we reviewed
it from memory.
Yeah, we reviewed that, and there was, at the time, they were, when we actually, before we reviewed it, we were hearing that it was going to be two movies. Well, first it was going to be one movie, and then Peter Jackson said, no, we need to make two. And then they called everybody back for reshoots, and they made a third film. It's a 300-page book. There's no need for three movies. There really isn't. But you're right. Denis, hats off to him. Two movies and a third completely separate. Not separate. It will tie in, and it will have a proper ending. It will have its proper trilogy. But you're right. It's a separate book.
Yeah, it's a restrained epic.
Yeah.
He went epic where he needed to, but it's anything that's epic serves the story. It's not just it's not just bloat, right, like Wizard of Oz, where we're just gonna throw some shit at the screen because we have the budget. It's like, no, we're doing what carries the story on.
I do want to say, you know, going back to Jodorowsky, in that the first trailer for the first Dune film, I mean, there is definitely, Denis knows of Jodorowsky and his desire to make the film and how it didn't ever get made. It was the most famous film to ever not be made. That first trailer was done to Pink Floyd. And Jodorowsky very clearly says that he wanted Pink Floyd to do the soundtrack of his movie if it were to get made. So there's definitely a throwback. I mean, it's to say that there definitely isn't similarities because both directors, knew the content. I think, I'm sorry, I keep bringing it up, but
I stand by my original statement.
And I stand by my original statement.
There you go. Anyhow. We'll fisticuff later. Ooh, for rights to.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but again, I'll still praise the Dune, this film, as well as the first Dune, for being able to make me understand it. Someone who doesn't care about science fiction, who hates the fact that they all have silly names you can't remember.
I know, and as someone who actually did read the book, I read it a million years ago. I think I read it when I was in middle school, but it's something that I did enjoy reading way back when, and I did like the Lynch film just because I'm a fan of Dune, but I'm so happy that it not only was it done, but done correctly for the first time ever, because they've tried to make this into TV miniseries more than once. I think they've tried that twice, and then they've tried doing other books in the miniseries, and they're just never that good. And to see this done this way, it's very, for the fans, it's amazing that it's done. And the fact that the Academy is recognizing it for both the first and this film to nominate it is also a huge achievement.
Well, and I think the achievement there is too, is one of the reasons the TV show, the TV miniseries and other films don't really work well, is that they never figured out how to tell the story concisely. They try to stay truthful. There's a strong storytelling element to the film that allows you to understand what's going on in this foreign country. I believe the Fremen as a group of people out there. It's they're not like, weren't they wearing black in the Lynch one?
Yeah, they were.
Or am I imagining that?
No, they were wearing like.
Were they tan as well?
Tan.
Because
the blue eye thing.
The Fremen. Yeah, I feel like they were wearing black in that film, and it's like, well, how does that blend into the sand? How does that blend into the desert? At least the Fremen look like they're actually, you know, camouflaged and stuff.
Well, yeah, they're tactile and.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is one of those things again, and also just the way it's the way they filmed it and the way they present everything. It like I believed the military angle, like I believed the political angle. It's not like, oh, okay, there's a king and this is that. No, it seems like they've got a whole thing set up, and I was able to follow it. It's like, oh, the emperor's screwing them over. Oh, and I even like how which I don't feel was ever portrayed in the Lynch version was how Paul Atreides, by the end of it, he's pretty much an anti-hero. He's pretty much like turning into a villain. He's gone back on everything he said, and I like that. Like it shows the transition. It's like there's a transition there that'll make sense in the jump to Dune Messiah.
Yeah. Oh, because it just recently happened, David Lynch has passed away.
That's right. Yeah,
haven't seen any like cause of death or anything like that. I think I read somewhere that it was lung cancer because he was a heavy smoker for so long.
There you go.
But I'm not 100% sure. I think that's what it was, though.
No matter how you feel about any of his films, there's no denying that he was one of the greats.
100%. I mean, even when the first time I saw Lost Highway, I walked out of the theater and I'm like, I think I need to see this again a couple of more times. Not because
I saw it drunk.
Oh boy, that must have been an experience. I mean, when Bill Pullman goes into the prison cell and what's the kid's name? Boz Luhrmann. It was what's his name? I can't remember his name. He was in Lord of the Flies, but. And then they go back into the cell and it's somebody different. I bet that mm-hmm. was an interesting, being drunk, seeing that. But after I saw it, I'm like, I need to see this again. And not because I walked out saying this is an amazing film. It was, I think I need to see this again because clearly this needs repeat viewings to figure it out, you know?
There's actually a story behind that going to see that film, but I don't want to distract from our Dune review. So I'll tell that at a later. I think I've told it in another episode too.
You probably have. But yeah. Seeing that film again and then again, it's just a great film. Mulholland Falls and Blue Velvet and Wild at Heart. Fucking love Wild at Heart.
So of course, the one film we're going to reference in this episode that is a Lynch film is one that I don't care for. You know, which, so of course,
one Wild at Heart,
Dune.
The
film that comes up because we're reviewing Dune. Of course, it's going to be the Lynch film. I don't care.
Well, you know what? At the time, he was a very young director when he did that first Dune film.
Oh no,
he had done Eraserhead, which
I'm not
holding
it against him.
No, I know. He did Eraserhead, which was basically, you know, an art house, like, student film. Then went into The Elephant Man, and then, because of his notoriety, he was able to do Dune. But I still like that version of it. I especially like the extended cut, because it has, I think, over an hour of extra footage in it. I know your dad loves that one. We've talked. Thankfully, your dad and I have talked about it.
Yeah, thankfully, Villeneuve is on record saying that he does not believe in deleted scenes. He destroys them. Like, so he's like, you'll never see a director's cut, because what I release is the director's cut.
Okay. All right.
So I'm happy about that, because I can't watch a 4-hour version of this. Does he really destroy them?
Like, not even hold it for, like, extras or anything like that?
He talked about it as if he burns them. Like he talked about it like he doesn't preserve them. That's the way he spoke about it. He said that releasing a film, it's like reanimating a corpse and trying to bring it back to life by putting stuff back into a film once you've cut it. Physically destroying them.
No, but
he's
not going to. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So maybe they'll release him as a special, on the disc as a special feature, but they'll never be put back in the film, except through fan edits.
I'm fine with that. The only time I'm okay with a director's cut is if the director was, say, forced to make cuts to get a certain rating, and then when they put all the stuff that they intended back in, I'm fine with that. Real quick, there's a film called... what the hell is it called? Shit. I can't remember.
If you're going to interrupt, you should know the name.
I know. And it's the one in Florida where they get the dam breaks and Florida floods, and there's alligators, like, everywhere. Crawl? Thank you. I appreciate you. So anyhow, that movie is a PG-13 film at best. There's a couple of scenes where there's some violence and there's a, you know, alligator attack that would be considered, you know, gruesome. But they could have easily cut that back to a 13 and then released a director's cut. At least because it was rated R, it was released as an R in theaters. If they released that as a PG-13, I guarantee you it would have made double the money just because it's a 13. But the director didn't want to do that.
You're not. Yeah, good. You're not helping. Don't let them do that. Don't make them release it twice just to get more ticket sales. That's against the art.
But I think it's a pretty good film that was overlooked. And I'm just saying, if it was PG-13, you would have had more eyes on it. That's what I'm getting at.
That was definitely a good example of a film in that genre. I think it was done well. I enjoyed that film. Yeah. Yes.
And I really think if they just cut a couple of scenes, they could have got a 13 easy.
Now, what do you feel about we've kind of talked about Dune? We, you know, in broad strokes, we're not really picking the story apart. I mean, that's for the sci-fi geeks. What are your views toward what, or shall I say, what's it nominated for?
It's nominated for. It doesn't have many, actually. Let me bring it up. It's easier to bring it up on IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of going to the page. If you go to IMDb, it actually tells you how many and what. So,
don't give away our secrets, Joey.
Oh, stop. There's no secrets here. It's nominated for 5 Oscars. And the nominees are Best Sound, Best Visual Effects, Best Picture, Best Cinematography, and Best Production or Achievement in Production Design. So it's all technical, except for picture.
Well, I think the only big competition in the technicals is going to be anything that's up against The Wizard of Oz or Wicked. God damn it.
True. I could tell you right now, I'm pretty sure cinematography is going to go to Nosferatu. That is absolutely gorgeous. If anything, some people didn't like it. I really enjoyed it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I think it's excellent. I like the director too. So, if it doesn't win cinematography, I'd be surprised, because I think Nosferatu is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous film.
I'm happy to hear that Timothée Chalamet was not nominated for any kind of Oscar, because I'm off of his I'm off the bandwagon.
Well, he's nominated for a complete unknown. He's not nominated for this, but he is nominated.
And as long
and with you, I'd say he's getting. And with you saying that Adrian Brody with the whole AI thing last week, I was actually, to be honest, I was looking at it real quick. Best actor in a leading role, you got Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Chalamet for Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan playing Donald Trump in The Apprentice. If you take Adrian Brody out of there, which was the front runner, and if the AI thing kind of sticks, I think it goes to Timothée Chalamet for A Complete Unknown. I really do. Well, listen, it gets done, done, and it's out of the way. Not that he won't ever be nominated again, but once he wins, he probably won't win for a long time.
I have this problem with actors winning Oscars for biopics. It's like, okay, you're doing an impression. That's not the same as acting. I disagree. Just me. It's me.
I disagree. I know. I think they're doing a good job. I'm not even making an argument for it. No, I know. I think they're doing a good job portraying somebody else. And if you can believe that's good acting.
I feel like it's too easy. That's it.
I don't think it's easy at all.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Okay. All right.
It's not going to win Best Picture.
No. You know what? And the thing is, I was mentioning, because it's a trilogy, that they may nominate the third one and give it to that as kind of tie in all three, like they did with Lord of the Rings. But I don't know if I see that happening.
No.
It would have to be a very weak year, because this next Dune film, this third one, probably isn't coming out for another, probably won't be out until 2027, maybe 2028.
So, he's not rushing it either.
No. And the thing is, I want him to make other films too. As much as I love his Dune series, I think him as a director, he's one of the best working directors that we have. Everything that he has done, I have absolutely loved. And not just to the point of where, oh, that's a good film. No, this is a great fucking movie. That's how good he is. And I can't, like I mention it all the time, I cannot praise the film Prisoners enough. It is a true piece of like masterful filmmaking. Hugh Jackman goes to a place that you as a human you just don't want to go, but he does. And then the way it ends and the way it just leaves you, it's just from beginning to end, it is a phenomenal film. And that might be the best thing he's ever done, but everything else that he's done is also, top tier.
Even
Blade Runner 2049 was fucking great.
I shouldn't
be great. It should not be a good film, but he's behind the steering wheel and he just knows what the fuck he's doing, and I can't praise him enough for it.
Now, what do you think as far as rating the film?
Well, currently, what's it at currently?
8.5 on IMDb.
You know what? That's a good score. 8 point. Like if we could give half points, I would say it's exactly where it should be, as an 8.5. The thing is, I think 8's too low. I think it's that fucking good, which means I'd be fighting for a 9.
If you want a 9, I won't argue. That's how good the film is.
I would say a 9. I say a movie. It's this film is probably better than the first film, and that's not easy to do. It's not, and it was accomplished. So I would say a 9 is appropriate.
It is easy to do, actually, because part 2 has a lot more action to it. It's more a war film, where the first one was more like an espionage drama.
That is true.
Yeah, but that's another reason why. It plays it great. I've got no complaints in any of that.
It could have easily faltered. You know, he could have not split the two films the right way, and had some, a lot of action in the first and maybe less in the second, but he didn't. He did it the right way. I think a 9 is appropriate. I really do.
I'm doing that right now.
Awesome.
So do you want to wrap up and move on to our next review for this week?
I think so. Let's do that.
Dune 2. Not, Not winning Best Picture, but a damn good film.
It absolutely is not winning Best Picture. And and the next film we're going to talk about, even though it's probably my favorite film in 2024, also not. But if they grew some balls, it would. But anyway, we'll talk about that in the next one. All right, everybody. this is episode 432 of Movie Sucktastic, where we are reviewing all 10 Oscar films every single week. We're recording a little earlier this week. But as always, if you're joining us right now, we thank you. Go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. Download the show there. Listen to the show there. Click on the YouTube link and watch this episode. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there as well. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we've been posting there as well. If you want to leave us email, it's themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. Or if you want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. If you want to download our podcast app, it's go to our website at moviesucktastic.com/MST.APK, or you can just download your favorite podcast player for any of your devices and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
I'm going to go back to the Lynch one. Just a little spittle upon your face.
I think that was originally cut, and that was put back in the extended version. I'm almost positive of that. So if you got to see that scene, it's only because they put that stuff back in, which, by the way, was against David Lynch's wishes. So he threw a motherfucking Alan Smithy on that shit when the studio grabbed it and had all that footage back. Because Lynch's version is only 2 hours and 20 minutes.
You're going to play out the music?
I'm not. But everyone needs to know.
I get yelled at when I do it.
Not really. All right, everybody.
Chastised.
Maybe a little. All right, we'll talk to you next when we review The Substance.
Oh, yeah.